opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. Or you can watch us on Twitch and comment there. You missed the first hour? You didn't miss much of me. It was Barry and AJ for the first 30 minutes as I dealt with crap. But happy to be here now. Let's have some fun. Let's pick it up.
How do you feel about this story? Right-wing pastor and radical conspiracy theorist Rodney Howard Brown held services at his The River Church in Tampa, Florida on Sunday, where he encouraged congregants to greet one another by shaking hands and hugging because we're raising up revivalists, not pansies. When I say conspiracy theorist, do you want to know what his biggest stance is?
Let's hear it.
He's an anti-vaxxer.
Oh, of course he is.
Imagine being an anti-vaxxer and then encouraging people that you've talked into not vaccinating their children and then hugging during this coronavirus thing.
I'm against that.
Yes. He dedicated most of his Sunday sermon to mocking fears about the spread of coronavirus and calling it a, quote, phantom plague designed to terrify people into receiving vaccines that will kill them, which he claimed was all part of a plan laid out in a 2010 document called Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development. He said he doesn't know anybody who's been infected by coronavirus, nor does he know anybody who knows anybody who's been infected, which he cited as evidence that the entire thing is nothing more than a globalist plot to shut down churches. What they want to do is change the way the world functions, really forever. All these churches that are allowing themselves to come down to 250 congregants, guess what? When you try to meet again, you ain't going to be able to meet again. They're going to keep you at 250 because you gave up ground. You gave up ground. Whatever ground you give up because of fear, you will give up permanently. Because the climate change narrative for global governance failed, they're using the World Health Organization to then come in and take over the control of nations, and they're going to bring in vaccines. There's going to be forced vaccines, which they can kill off many people with vaccines. It's about population reduction because there are too many people on the planet. But with the correct vaccines, we can shoot them, and then they can die. That's a take.
One way of looking at things. Yeah, I... okay. Listen, I'm of the opinion... I still have the opinion that there's a lot of overreacting going on. But you know what? I also accept the fact that you'd rather overreact than underreact.
Yeah.
And so, okay. And maybe we should just shut things down for 2 weeks, just like everything else. But, and you know, hey, last night, like I said, went out and had a nice dinner. Didn't lick anything.
Yeah.
Didn't go around hugging everybody, even though I wasn't going
to
see him for a while.
Listen.
It's just, you know, but that kind of stuff is silly.
To your credit, as the realization of what's going on has grown, you've become more adaptable to the situation. There's some people who, you know, 2 weeks ago were saying what you were saying 2 weeks ago. Everyone's panicking. This isn't that big of a deal. There's some people who still think this isn't a big deal. I say things like this is, I fully believe this. Once rich people start giving up the opportunity to make money, once it starts costing them money, that lets you know it's real. the NCAA tournament does nothing but make money, straight profit, because they don't have to pay the athletes. I mean, it is just a money bonanza. The fact that they gave that up, to me, that tells you, ooh, there's something going on here. Major League Baseball, they're not playing. NBA, these are billionaires who run billion-dollar organizations who are just like, okay, we'll stop making money for a while. That you don't get billionaires to do that over nonsense. Billionaires typically find a way to power through. Well, so you can say it's all, well, they're closing down small businesses, things like, everybody shut down.
The difference is the billionaires can afford this. The rest of the country can't.
No, I'm not. That's not the point. The point is, once billionaires start to lose out on money, that's what tells me it's a real thing. Because if they just shut down the mom and pop shops, I'd be like, oh, okay, this is BS. Once billionaires are not making money, they're passing on dollars, that tells me, okay, there's some serious business going on here.
Yeah, I still am not going to, I still think that it's a little overblown, frankly. But I mean, look, the government's telling us to do this. Just do it. And somebody said, yeah, Kevin Durant has it now.
I haven't heard that.
I saw that a couple places, actually.
Yeah, he acknowledged it apparently to Shams.
Really?
But we're finding out about famous people because that's who's getting tested. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, I guarantee you there's a lot more people with this than what's out there. And there's a lot of people that probably already had it. And they're not riches. And we don't have enough tests. So, yeah, all I would say is, just do what they tell you and be responsible. Don't go doing the stupid stuff. I mean, that's just stupid with the church guy. And, you know, and like the chick who did the Red Robin thing. I mean, come on. So he says when the casinos in Vegas.
The MGM shuts down.
That's the.
I told my wife that last night. I said the MGM, the Mirage, the Mandalay Bay, Excalibur, Luxor, they're all shut down. They don't do that.
No.
They don't do that if it's not a big deal.
Well, I mean, I think they're following along with what everybody else is doing. And right now, it seems like the right thing to do. I think, though, what everybody needs to be worried about is, and I think people are dismissing this economy is about to be screwed.
We're in trouble, man.
And if this lasts for 3 or 4 months, then it's going to do damage. It's going to take years to recover from, and that's what I'm concerned about, because, you know, great if they contain it, that's fine. If you're going to do it, just shut everything down for 2 weeks and just say, hey, this is it, stay in for 2 weeks. That's how long it's supposed to, you know, you're supposed to quarantine, right? But yeah, somebody said Brady going to Tampa being reported. I saw that somebody tweeted out they knew where he was going, but they didn't say where.
Yeah. We'll see. When Schefter tweets it.
Yeah. And R-Dog says some people have no symptoms at all and are infected. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the thing. How would you know? If you don't really have any symptoms. And some people have very light symptoms, especially all of you youngs. I mean, you might not even get anything from it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, but it is something that people who are at risk. And by the way, did I win the coronavirus death pool?
I think you did.
I'm going to tell all you guys who voted for me, you're a bunch of dumbs. I am the Keith Richards of Houston radio. I put more crap into my body than everybody else out there combined. I've survived more crap than most people.
That's debatable. You've never done hard drugs.
No, but I've done a lot.
Drink a lot and smoke weed.
Yeah, but I've survived.
That's far from the Keith Richards.
I've survived some worse things than this, so I think you chose poorly.
You did have that twisty ball syndrome.
Yeah, I had that. I had a stroke.
If you survived twisty balls.
Yeah, I had a. Yeah, I've had a bunch of things, and I beat them all, and I'll just keep beating
them.
That's true. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975. I have an idea for us when we come back.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 975.
Cause you're my friend.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis tonight at 7, right? Maybe it should be empty soccer stadiums matter right now. We're in the same boat. So, a couple things that I want to say one thing about this, because what I'm seeing, especially on Twitter, which is another reason why I'm so sick of Twitter, people are pulling out stats that make things look worse than it is, and people are pulling out stats that make it look like it's no big deal. And guys, this isn't politics. Even it's not sports. This isn't black or white. There's actually a lot to this. And
it's Asian. Everyone knows this is the Chinese flu. Maybe you've not heard
the Wuhan flu. So we're saying it weird that they let us know celebrities tested positive for coronavirus, but won't let us know who tested positive in our local area. I think most of these celebrities are announcing it. Like Tom Hanks announced it.
They announced it themselves. Yeah.
Idris Elba announced it.
Doctors can't just announce it because it's
right.
There's laws against it.
858, who gets custody of the refs in the Brady Belichick divorce? Ooh, good one. Somebody said the president of my company sent an email today saying it's no big deal and said we wouldn't close because he doesn't want to pay people who aren't working. He also said that he diagnosed himself to have it, which was debunked. Crazy. And then somebody else says a group of us at work all had these exact symptoms back in late November, early December, and quite a few of us tested negative for flu. But none of us got answers from a doctor, and I work at a marine terminal where we interact with vessel crews from all over the world on a regular basis. That's the thing. We don't know. None of us really know if it's already been through here. But, you know, the thing is, just be smart and do what they tell you at this point. And, you know, we'll all get through it. And, listen, as long as they let us be here, we're going to be here. So I have an idea, though. You know how they have these national days, like National Pizza Day, National Margarita Day? I think we should have National Shoot Your Shot Week. Look at it. We're all stuck somewhere for the most part. A lot of people can't work. They got nothing to do. And why not? And you know what? Maybe the world's going to end.
Yeah.
Maybe that if it's not the disease that gets you, it's going to be the economic collapse. So why not, during this week, shoot your shot on anything? Like, maybe you've always wanted to learn to play guitar. Go.
Now's a good time.
Now's a great time, right? Maybe you wanted to write a novel. Maybe you wanted to read one. JesusTheNovel.com, by the way.
Learn how to play guitar so you can play in front of a crowd of 9 people.
Well, no, now's the perfect time, because if you learn how to play and you get good, you got plenty of time before we're going to be able to congregate again, right? Because it's going to be months.
True.
Yeah, so, yeah. There's somebody you wanted to have a drink with or something, shoot your shot. And if you're the person being shot at, just be nice in the response. And actually, let's do this. If there's no response, what that means is, hey, thanks, appreciate you shooting your shot. It's not going to, you know, can't do it right now.
Yeah.
That's the no response. So, you know, like, hey, I want to write for Sports Map. Shoot your shot. You're probably going to get shot down, but I'll be nice about it. So now's the time, right? I mean, what are we waiting for? Like, we put things off because we always do this in life. We put things off because, yeah, you know, don't have time. Well, guess what? You got time. Almost everybody's got time now. So just go shoot your shot at whatever.
So, some chick?
If that's what your goal is, go ahead. Or some guy, whatever. I'm not here to judge. And what's the worst thing that's going to happen? We're all probably going to die. So let's have fun. And then the other thing is, can we all just endeavor to be nice to each other?
Yeah.
Please. I know I ask for that a lot, but a lot of people, this is going to suck more for some people than others. Just be nice. That's all. You can be nice at a distance. You don't have to get within 10 feet. So there you go.
Did you play music, or are we good for a minute? Okay.
Yeah, I think we got 3 minutes here.
Is there a a more head-scratching signing than the Jason Witten to the Raiders deal?
Not really.
Like, I tried to think about a reason why the Raiders would sign Jason Witten, and I couldn't come up with a good one. They've got two tight ends on their roster who are currently better than Jason Witten. Darren Waller is now, in my opinion, one of the top 5-6 tight ends in the league. And Foster Moreau looks like a legit tight end too. What is bringing Jason Witten in? How does that...
Like, it makes no sense to me.
It's so Gruden.
Yeah.
Wanting to have a third tight end.
Maybe you can teach him how to be a better analyst.
Ugh. Like, that's such a weird place to have great depth.
Maybe they'll make him a player coach.
Really?
Then hire him as a coach.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand bringing Witten in there. I don't know what he adds. So he's not better than either of those guys. He's definitely not better than Darren Waller.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't know why you make that move. There's been a few head scratchers, and we got lost in the fact that the biggest head scratcher was right here. I'll tell you who I think has done a great job over the last couple weeks: Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, agreed.
Man.
Yeah, they don't. They
what are their Super Bowl odds now? Because they have to have dropped picking up Calais Campbell for nothing, and I mean that defensive line is going to be really good. Yeah, the only thing with them is Lamar Jackson what we saw last year, and can he be for another season? And if so, boy, it's going to be a good football team, which I know makes you happy because you got a lot of Raven love.
Well, I mean they're a well run franchise, certainly.
Must be nice.
Must
be nice. Okay, 713 says, do I really have to be nice to Bill O'Brien? No, you don't have to be nice to Bill O'Brien. I'm talking about real people. Real human beings. Not dictators.
Yeah.
All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
And there's a distance in your...
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
Behold the king. The king of kings. Your knees, dog.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. You know what that music means. Time for Jerome Solomon, host of Houston Sports Show on Channel 2 and here on ESPN 97.5, Houston Chronicle columnist. Jerome, what's going on, man? How are you surviving with no sports?
Surprisingly well, you know. I mean, watching the old NBA games at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know. Dominique and Larry Bird going at it. Thrilling. It's actually hasn't been as bad as you might think. It's just, it really is kind of, when you know what's going to happen in the game, there's not much thrill in it. You know, I see why networks pay so much for any live sports at all, because people want something live on. A buddy of mine was so desperate, he's watching Mexican League soccer with empty stadiums, and he's not even a huge soccer fan, speaks no Spanish, but he was, you know, he's an addict, like many of us are.
Well, there's something fun about watching those games with the Spanish broadcast, even U.S. games with a Spanish broadcast. It makes soccer a lot more interesting.
You need the crowd, though, don't you? I mean, it's any sporting event with no crowd out there is just weird to me. It's practice, you know, or it feels like practice.
I'll be honest, watching the UFC this weekend, it felt fine to me. It didn't bother me at all.
Well, and I've been watching the horse races at home, and it's made no difference whatsoever. You don't even notice that there's no crowd.
Oh, well,
because there usually isn't one.
Anything except your money.
Well, but that's what it's about, right? I mean, that's why the sport exists. All right, I want you to explain to me why what Bill O'Brien did yesterday was a good move.
Oh, I mean, you break it down like this, man. What you want to do is get the best out of a player and make him be the best that he can be. Like, I don't remember the exact wording, but early in Tom Brady's letter today, he said, you know, that the Patriots drew the best out of him. And if the Texans want to get the best out of Deshaun Watson, they need to take away his weapons. Make him show how great he can be, because you rely on DeAndre Hopkins making these spectacular catches and putting up 1,000 yards every season and 100 grabs, and he's always there on third down. He's always there in the red zone. You're not going to get better as a quarterback. I mean, you might win, but is it about winning or is it about getting better and showing that you can win without the best team? That's what I think it's all about. So that's a good thing if you're that kind of idiot. And apparently the Texans have one running the show.
At what point, I mean, where the hell is Cal McNair in all this? I mean, I can't believe that he gets that phone call, hey, we're going to do this. And he's like, okay, that makes sense.
I don't know if he sounds like that, but it comes across like that, whatever he says. No, it is apparent, and we've been saying it for a really long time, and we believed it, but even we have gotten to the point where we're surprised how right we were. It doesn't matter what Bill O'Brien says. It happens. I don't know if there's a discussion. I don't know if people, you know, argue against it and he just overrides them or overrules them, or people don't say a word, but it is apparent whatever he says goes and it's going to happen. I mean, maybe that's why they fired Chris Olsen, their cap guy, because he came to him and said, oh, here's a way we can keep all these guys. And Bill O'Brien's like, that's not what you're here for. You know, get out of here, because we're cleaning some house. And I'm sorry, if you're cleaning house with Jadeveon Clowney, that's dumb, particularly when he's got 1 year left and you need him for that year and your team's going to be better and you can roll with it and then clean house and you trade him for nothing. That's really dumb. But DeAndre Hopkins is in the heart of his prime. He's arguably the best receiver. He's no worse than the second or third best, and not going to be anything other than a top five guy for the next 3 or 4 years. It's ludicrous not to make him happy and keep him here. He's very much underpaid going into this season. Move some money around. I mean, whoop-de-darn-do. But I
oh, no, you
if
gotta,
your ego is so bad that you can't have this guy on your team, there's something wrong with you.
No, you got to pay Nick Martin all that money. You got to pay Whitney Merciless all that money. So, no, you can't afford to move money around for DeAndre Hopkins.
You got to pay your average-ass kicker top three money, of course. I mean, you can't find an average kicker anywhere. My goodness, it's incredible. And I'm not slamming him individually. I slam all media on this because it is one of my pet peeves and has been for years and years and years. But Aaron Wilson wrote, he broke the story, I guess, about DJ Reader signing with the Bengals. And in that, he would, you know, the Texans negotiated with Reader, but with future contracts coming, they couldn't reach his price. And he's already doing the bidding for the team to explain why they couldn't sign a guy. No, they didn't want to sign him for the amount. It's not they couldn't pay him. They chose not to. They chose to pay those guys that you mentioned. And that's fine, but don't turn it into a money thing. And I've gotten a couple of things from people saying, oh, well, DeAndre Hopkins should just play his contract out. Believe me, if the Texans didn't want him to pay him the $12 million this year, they weren't going to. That's what they didn't want to do. It's ridiculous.
Do you think that the Hopkins move specifically could influence a decision for Deshaun Watson or Laremy Tunsil, for that matter, on whether or not they want to be here long term?
I wrote a column that's running tomorrow that just got posted. I didn't touch on the Tunsil thing, but I'll mention it here. It was more about Deshaun Watson. Yeah, I don't think it'll affect Deshaun Watson. There's several reasons, but the main one is he's due a huge payday.
But there's a lot of teams that'll give it to him.
Yeah, right. But the rule in the NFL is the quiet bird gets the worm. Not the early bird, the quiet bird. The less you say, the less trouble you cause. And he's not that type of guy anyway. And he has been happy with Bill O'Brien. And he has an unusual relationship with him that belies reason, in that he doesn't blame Bill O'Brien for anything. He just takes it on himself. And that's fine. That's how he's rolling. But, you know, the Texans don't have to give him anything this year. And then they can franchise him next year and the year after that. or it can get really ugly, and the Texans still can do whatever they want with Deshaun Watson because they have the power, they have the leverage, they have the control, and it's just not, what would, it wouldn't be worth it for him to do that. He's much more likely to do what Tom Brady did. That's what I wrote. Tom Brady did it for 20 years with the Patriots. He didn't like the move, many of the moves they made. He didn't care for them letting players go that could have helped them win and win more. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I think they could have won more had they made a couple other moves. But he, at the end of the day, whenever it got around to him speaking out publicly, Brady would say, you know, it's business. That's not my job. My job is to lead the team as a quarterback, you know, and that's what they do. I wish so-and-so was still here. And that's what Deshaun Watson is going to say, because that's, it's just a smarter play than to put up a big fight over a player as critical as DeAndre Hopkins was to his game. I mean, he's throwing this guy 33% of the time.
I mean,
that's how good he is.
There's a good possibility that Deshaun Watson's not a top 10 quarterback this year. I mean, let's face it. That's like you said.
No, there's not.
Okay.
No, there just isn't.
If Kenny Stills is his number one wide receiver all year, you think he's gonna be some kind of a breakout star?
He's already a star. I mean, he's good enough. He's good. He's a top 10 quarterback and will be. His weapons will come and go, and there'll be years the offense will be better than others.
You don't know that. You've never seen him without DeAndre Hopkins.
I know. I don't know that, but that's my guess.
See, I'm less sure than you.
I've seen him make plays where DeAndre Hopkins was on or off the field had nothing to do with the play that Deshaun Watson just made. So no, the team is better with DeAndre Hopkins. Not even debatable. The offense is way better with DeAndre Hopkins. Deshaun Watson is better with DeAndre Hopkins. Not disputing that. I'm saying Deshaun Watson's a top 10 quarterback, whether he has him or not. He just is that good and will be that good. And the dude started for two and a half seasons. There's no reason he's not going to continue to improve and get better. And he's already a top 10 guy. There's no reason to think he won't continue to be. It's just ridiculous that he has to do this with fewer weapons than he had before. There was no reason to. It's not like, you know, DeAndre Hopkins left for more money and left on his own, was an unrestricted free agent or something. They traded him and got nothing back. My God, it was so stupid. How do you not get a first-round draft pick for that guy? It's ridiculous.
And take on a bad contract from an old guy. There's just so much wrong with this. And
from an injured guy who hasn't, Johnson's versatile and can play a little bit, but so? I mean, is he going to play a lot or a little bit? And he's still, I don't think he'd, a better way of putting it is DeAndre Hopkins and whatever else you can get at running back is going to be better than Johnson and whatever you're going to get at receiver. You know what I mean? Because the gap between whoever you bring in, and they've already brought in one now, and DeAndre Hopkins is huge.
Randall Cobb isn't a replacement for DeAndre Hopkins.
That's a huge gap.
Yeah, I think the Texans, what they do, I don't know if they realize this or not. I think, and this is probably unpopular opinion, I think DeAndre Hopkins was the best player on the team. I think he was the best football player. Now,
I wrote that too. He's the best player. I didn't say team, but that works.
Yeah, Deshaun's more offense, Deshaun's more important, obviously, because quarterback, the position, is more important. But if like compared to their peers, DeAndre Hopkins is much closer to the best in his position than Deshaun is to his.
Oh, I said specifically he is. The only player on the team who is the best at his position. But I do think he's the best receiver.
He's certainly in the top three. There's nobody else on this team who you can look at and go, you know what, that's one of the top three guys at their position in the league. There's nobody else, not even JJ at this point.
And for what they're trying to do and what they need to do, especially since they look like they've done a whole lot of damn work in improving their defense as of yet early in free agency here. I mean, it's crazy. And I've always been with this in every sport. When you get rid of a player who's in his prime, a star player, And the very first thing you have to do as soon as you get rid of that person is try to replace him. That's a bad move. You know what I mean? That is a bad move. You don't need to replace him. Why go out there? And why move him so you can try to replace him somewhere else? And especially if you're not bringing in somebody who's just way better at a whole nother position. Yeah, I would trade DeAndre Hopkins for Deshaun Watson if I don't want any of those jokers they had before was my quarterback. But not for a running back and a second-round draft pick. Give me a break.
Yeah, and so for some reason you think Will Fuller's the number one, which I'm sorry. I mean, even O'Brien was bitching about how he couldn't get on the field last year, and suddenly this guy, we think he can be a number one? Are you insane?
I don't know who's saying that.
Lance has said that people over there told him they believe he could be a number one.
Are those people all hypnotized or something?
Listen, depending on how he plays.
The only people that left are, I mean, is that what Easley brought in? He brought the Kool-Aid, like, for real?
If Will Fuller is a good practice guy, he's going to be making Julio Jones money next year. Just watch.
Man, my goodness. And considering who he's got to practice against.
Yeah, he might.
He could be a star over there and not be really good. But I think Fuller belongs on the team. That's about it.
Yeah.
You know, other people are trying, they need to cut that guy in the middle of last season. I'm like, why? And that stands out to me even more based on my analysis of the team all last year. I kept saying, no, they need receivers desperately before the season, during the season, after the season. They still need a really good receiver or two. And you trade your best one?
Just need a really good receiver or two or three.
Or three. Yeah, now you need more than that because you lost one and a half. It defies all logic. It really does. I mean, even if at a minimum they were supposed to tell him, look, dude, it is what it is. You're here for, you know, this year at 12 and a half, and that's just what it's going to be. You either want this money or you don't. Oh, and not to mention the new CBA makes it even more difficult. You know, you can't sit out training camp and get your money back or get the fines waived anymore. You know, and if you mess around and sit out training camp because you want to renegotiate a contract, you'll lose a year of service off the day. I mean, so you gain nothing almost by holding out now with this new CBA. DeAndre Hopkins wasn't going to do anything. He's going to show up and play his butt off like he always has.
Schefter reporting that your boy Tom Brady's going to be a Buccaneer. What do you think of this?
I started thinking that was going to happen a few weeks ago. It seemed like it just made sense in terms of the weapons they have and the coaching that they have. I think those coaches would really value and appreciate him. And I know you're one of those people. I think the evaluation of Brady is so heavily weighed on both sides by people like me who worship the ground he walks on and thinks he's way better than he is. You know, even as he's sliding now, and people like you who've been saying he has nothing left for so long that y'all can't wait till the day when he actually has nothing left.
That's not me, Gerald. I said I think that. I mean, I've been a believer. I think Tom Brady's the greatest ever. What I saw last year was a shell of Tom Brady,
right,
and I wasn't afraid to admit that was a shell.
You cannot erase the lack of talent around. I mean, they were. Horrible.
He's always had a lack of talent around him. That's what's been.
He didn't play well, but they were horrible. He didn't play well at all. But when I watched the Saints, I'm like, Drew Brees don't look all that good either. But he's got such great talent that he's able to get away with not looking all that great. And I do believe if you flip flopped them last year, Brees would have been horrible with the Patriots. Brady would have been much better. How much more does he have left? I think he'll be better with the Buccaneers than he was with the Patriots last year. I don't know what the Patriots are going to do this year in terms of giving him something else. So his being better than last year will make a statement in itself. But, I mean, it's, you know, Super Bowl and all that. You know, those days are over.
Well, to your point, he will have some weapons in Tampa. So if he sucks this year, then you guys won't have an excuse for him anymore.
Yeah, I mean, not only does he have weapons, it's even better. He's got some... You don't even have to throw good pass weapons. You know what I mean? You got a couple of guys, Mike Evans. You just put it in the general vicinity, so you can get away with two or three bad passes a game in his direction that you couldn't get done with anybody on the Patriots roster last year. And so I expect Brady to have a really nice bounce back. And I still have so much respect for Bruce Arians. I think that offense is going to look really good, and people are going to go, man, this Brady guy. And then of course he'll have a horrible game or two because he's 90 years old. That's going to happen. But I think overall he'll be solid.
My guess is,
or maybe even a little better.
My guess is he throws less than 30 interceptions, but probably throws less than 30 touchdowns too. I think he's just a less, it's a lower risk, lower reward option at this point.
Yeah, but Jameis is such a crazy option.
Oh yeah, I'm not blaming them for. I'd rather have Brady at this point too. But I mean. I think that it's going to be it's going to be tough for with Brady at this age. I think it's going to be tough for them to expect a whole lot from him.
Yeah, but like I said, I think he's going to be better than average, and that'll be pretty solid. I will tell you this: I think Phillip Rivers, and again, this is one of those that's it's shaded by your opinion before the point you're making this statement. I've never been a big Phillip Rivers fan anyway. I think he's terrible. Now, he's really bad. He was really bad last year and even worse, but I never thought he was that great in the first place. So he might be better than I think, but I wouldn't assign him. I don't care what team I had this year.
That's Jerome Solomon, and you can catch him on Houston Sports Show on Sunday nights. You can catch him here on Sunday mornings, and you can read him in the Chronicle. Jerome, great stuff as always, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Hi, fellas. Thanks for having me.
All right. One thing I would say about Rivers, I think he's going to a much better coach than what he had. So we'll see. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. ESPN. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. All right, let's squeeze in a quick Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Well, we know the casinos are shutting down, but as of now, most of the brothels are still going in Las Vegas. However, they are putting in some precautions. One brothel, all customers must wear masks when they walk in and even during sex. I do think that would be, there's something sexy about that.
I don't know. There's strip clubs are doing that too.
Yeah.
Like the girls are wearing masks.
I kind of like girls in masks. Not medical that kind of mask. Not really medical masks.
What kind of mask do you want?
I kind of like the Mardi Gras masks and things like that. But if you kind of combine the two, it might be cool. But but they are taking precautions, just so you know. So if you decide you want to get away for a weekend, some of them just have an enormous bottle of hand sanitizer. And one of them says they just check to see if you have a fever when you come in.
All right.
So
that'll probably be plenty.
I'm pretty sure that the brothels will be the next thing to close. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day. Typically, hookers and strippers don't get PTO. So they're trying to work.
Yeah.
They're trying to hustle.
Well, but I assume that the bar banning also includes the strip clubs here.
I wonder.
Yeah, it has to, right? So, guess those girls will be heading out to Pearland or Galveston County, which hasn't shut things down yet.
Not yet.
So, well, yeah, you can still go out, right?
Yeah. But I live right near the border of Harris County, so we went out to dinner in Harris County last night.
You think I'm crazy to think that Deshaun Watson might not be a top 10 quarterback without Hopkins?
With Bill O'Brien as his coach?
Yeah.
No, you're not crazy.
I mean, there's a lot of people getting on me about it, but he was seventh in QBR this year with a top three wide receiver. Think about the weapons he's going to have next year.
Well, I mean, Bill O'Brien knows more than we do, AJ. Obviously, they're going to be a better team. I guarantee you, whenever he finally addresses the media, which he probably never will, he's going to have to at some point.
By the way, that's so cowardly.
Oh, I know it is.
Like, he should have already like been this, up there. Like, and explain yourself.
Well, like, this is going to blow over. And right. By the way, Bill, just because the world is ending, people aren't going to forget about this. And I hope that when he does have a press conference, those guys are on him. But we'll see. I mean, and he'll have his same BS responses, and nobody will call him on it. Well, we think this is best for the team. How so? How is it best? How is trading a top five receiver for a bag of beans make you a better team? How does that work? And he won't answer. Yeah. Well, we think this is... Well, okay. Well, what you think is pretty bleeping stupid. All right. I'll tell you who's not stupid. My man, Lawyer Dave. And Dave is going to be out there winning for you. What's going on, Dave?
You bet I am, Fred. Got the courthouse closed at the moment, but blitzers are still having accidents, still getting badly treated in hospitals, and having on-the-job type of industrial problems. And then they call me, Lawyer Dave, Houston-based David Mestemaker, at 713-626-8900.
Yeah, and they can call and talk to you for free, right? You don't charge for consultations and nothing out of pocket until they win.
That's exactly right. All of our consultations are always free. Come on in, visit with me personally, and let's see what you got. And, of course, we take a percentage. So we gamble together that we're going to win your case from the beginning all the way through trial if that's necessary.
Yeah, and that includes settlements that you get for the blitzers. And if they need medical care, you guys make sure that they get taken care of on that, too.
That's absolutely important. So a lot of people don't have the money to spend to get a doctor's care. They need to have some kind of a break. So we get doctors, the right doctors for the right people with no money out of the pocket up front. That helped a lot of blitzers. And, oh, by the way, I got a call this morning from a blitzer asking if we could sue the federal government for delaying the response to the virus. I said, no, we can't.
Oh, well, that's too bad. But there's a lot of other things that you can do for them. Give them that number one more time. Tell them how to get in touch with you.
You can hit me up at 713-626-8900. That line's answered 24 hours a day in English and Spanish. Or you can find me at LawyerDave.com or LawyerDaveLaw is my Twitter handle. Or by all means, get a hold of me through my buddy Fred.
Yeah, El Tigre Tejano, we like to call him. What do they do when, what do they do when they need a lawyer, buddy?
They better dial Dave.
This is ESPN 97.5.